Hello, welcome to the Find Your Calm podcast. I'm Noelle C. Guevara, and through my work as a pastor, an educator, and a writer, I've helped so many people find their calm as they navigate faith and family and being a person in this chaotic life. Here's the truth. I don't know how to avoid chaos or how to prevent the anxiety that chaos inevitably causes, but I have had more than a little practice in finding my calm when life beckons anxiety instead. If you're looking for space to take a deep breath, steady yourself, and discern what you need to move forward, you're right where you belong. Listen in for a few simple tips to find your calm and take your next faithful steps forward. Today's topic is timely in the sense that I am figuring this out in real time. I outlined this episode months ago before I even knew what brand of stress today would hold. To be fair, life sustains a fair amount of stress always, so this episode will always be timely. But after an unexpected change in my employment status, it really wreaked havoc on my scarcity mindset, and so I've had to work through an intense season of stress, and I've had to reach for all the tools in my toolkit. We've all been there. A sick child, an empty bank account, a broken relationship, a toxic work environment, a mental health crisis, a global pandemic. If you're a human, you've certainly experienced one or more of these scenarios. And while everyday stress is a chaos that begs for solutions, these sort of crises require a lot more effort to be corralled into calm. High stress seasons of life can leave us paralyzed under the weight of mental load and decision fatigue. And in the moment, it can be impossible to discern our next faithful step forward. Deep breaths, friends. Let's clear a path through the chaos together. In a recent episode of the Lazy Genius podcast, which is one of my favorites, it's so good, it's so fun, it's practically helpful, Kendra Adachi said that our brains interpret chaos as a threat. No lies told, you guys. So under the kind of pervasive stress that we're talking about, our brains are likely to interpret what is happening in and around us as a threat, as if we're in danger. And that is going to throw our bodies and the complicated systems that are meant to help us function into survival mode. Flight, fight, fawn, freeze, these are going to be the first instincts instead of the more helpful instincts we need to not just survive stress, but be a human in the midst of it. I felt anxious and sad and overwhelmed by a lot of realities in my life through this stressful season, but I wanted to show up for my kids and be present to their needs and antics and generally amazing humanness. I wanted to finish a chapter of my life well. I wanted to sit across the dinner table from my husband and laugh and dream and focus on our to-do list. I wanted to delight in the leaves that were changing outside and believe that I was changing in beautiful ways too. I wanted to stay grounded and speak and act out of groundedness, even though everything felt out of control. This list of wants is and was large and looming, and honestly not entirely realistic if I let it drive my expectations. We recently did a whole episode about managing expectations. So I went ahead and filed my want list under intentions I'm following, so they could lead me forward instead of berate me from the sidelines. But I digress. My point is this. In order to move forward in a stressful season in ways that are true to myself and the desires I have for myself, I needed to consider a few faithful steps forward as I was learning and relearning how to function under stress. Here are the steps that brought some calm to the chaos and helped me function under stress. The first step is a mindset adjustment. When functioning under stress, it's important to recognize when you're surviving versus thriving. This is a trauma-informed principle, so follow me here. If you've experienced a traumatic event or you're actively recovering from trauma, your body's going to protect itself, both physically and emotionally. This is really good and important in the short term. Those trauma responses that I mentioned earlier, flight, fight, freeze, fawn, they are meant to ensure your immediate survival. Even once you're physically safe, you're going to need some time to experience and trust that you are safe. It will be helpful to avoid triggers and give your body some grace to recover. You might need more sleep or to enjoy some comfort foods or relax your schedule or your expectations or whatever. Several years ago, I had a miscarriage and I was shocked at how physically painful and exhausting it was. I kept apologizing for needing to rest, feeling like I should just get back to my normal life. But what I didn't understand at the time was that my body needed to heal from a trauma, and I needed to let myself go into survival mode for a while. Survival mode isn't meant to be permanent. Eventually, if we tend to our bodies physically and emotionally, we'll move back into thriving, and that's the goal. Whether your stress is due to trauma or just a really intense season, you're likely going to need to throw it into neutral and let yourself shift into survival mode. A really important thing to remember about survival mode is that it's meant to be temporary. The tasks you're moving off your plate don't have to fall by the wayside forever. The extra rest or comfort you need today isn't a habit you're living into for all time. Your capacity can decrease today and increase again down the road, and neither one of those limits defines you. You are not defined by your highs or your lows. We are all humans, and the truth of us is told in 1,000 everyday and ever-changing moments. Live seasonally, friend. Surviving may be your path to thriving. And speaking of capacity, the second practical step, which is tied to this idea of survival mode, is to focus on building capacity versus just managing responsibilities or beating ourselves up for not keeping up. Not a recommended strategy, by the way. I have a full plate. I have 4 kids. I work. I have a lot of responsibilities. And most of the time, I manage that full plate just fine. But in a stressful season, that plate feels overwhelming, and I will struggle to balance it all. I'll forget simple things like a pickup time or packing lunches. Or I'll panic if there's a simple change to our calendar or everyday routine. And then suddenly I'll be berating myself for failing at my regular life. Hang with me here. When my bucket is full, so my physical and emotional needs are met, I'm well rested. I have had time to do things I enjoy and feel connected to myself as a person. I'm able to operate at a higher capacity. Now my bucket has cycles of emptying and refilling, right? There's things we do to fill and things we do that can drain. And while the size of the bucket remains the same, the contents change drastically. We all know on some level that we will show up best in life when our metaphorical bucket is filled. Too often, we focus instead on our plate. I don't know why the dishes metaphor is working for me today, but just again, hang with me. Too often, we focus on our plate or this concept of how much responsibility we can squeeze into our limited time. Okay, if I add this new job title, maybe I can push back this task and still have enough room. We're always trying to add more, accomplish more, make room for more without giving enough thought and attention to how much life we're giving or draining from our very self. Thus, the bucket. When your bucket is full, you feel rested, energized, and generally like yourself, then you're better able to handle a full plate. Or even just have a clearer view of what even matters and belongs on that plate. Your bucket has to be full for you to operate at a high capacity. Here's the deal. We don't always get to choose our responsibilities or remove the stress that impacts how we function. When we don't have the luxury of lightening the load, we can still increase our capacity by keeping our buckets full. It feels counterintuitive to do the fill the bucket things when your to-do list is likely full of bucket emptying things, and it looms large. I get it, but trust me on this. You will not get far on an empty bucket, and whatever ground you cover will likely involve some collateral damage. When our buckets are empty, our brains slow, our tempers flare, we make mistakes, we're easily activated. You get the idea. When you add in stress, you likely have an overcrowded plate and a low fill bucket. And that, my friends, is a disaster waiting to happen. If you're trying to function under stress, you have to make sure you're generously filling your bucket. There are lots of ways to do this, practicing self-compassion or engaging in self-care, things like that. But listen, taking a bath ain't gonna magically superimpose you with the strength to tackle a crisis. I really do get that. The greater the stress, the closer attention you'll have to pay to what fills and empties your bucket. Or the practice that Emily P. Freeman often refers to is noticing what is life-giving and life-draining. It's easy to say and so very hard to do, but our life-giving and life-draining rhythms need to strike a healthy balance. I'll share just a few life-giving practices, some fill my bucket steps that give me a high return on investment, typically of my time. The first is that I start my mornings in God's Word before I subject myself to the words of anyone else. This means that I'm usually sitting in a favorite chair, coffee and Bible in hand before my kids wake up and before I open my inbox or my social media apps. Most mornings I spend 10 to 15 minutes in this posture, sometimes more, sometimes less. It 1000% gives me what I need to run headlong into a crazy morning. Next, on weekday mornings, I typically go to the gym. Sometimes I binge Netflix on the elliptical. Sometimes I take a strength training class. I do not by nature enjoy exercise, but it turns out I feel pretty awesome when I'm flooded with endorphins, and that little rush helps propel me into my day. Another practice that I have learned and am still learning, to be honest, is to reach out. I have a text thread with friends going, memes, confessions, and advice flow freely. Lately, I've also been more intentional about grabbing face-to-face time with the people who breathe life back into my weary soul. Dinner with a friend, quiet moments in the evening with Matt, coffee with my mom, chatting with a friend while I snuggle her baby. These things have kept me sane in a stressful season. And I've invested some time into these relationships, fighting the excuses that are as rational as they are unhelpful. So these friendships are there for me to lean into now. But even if you haven't built the friendships you need to lean on yet, it's not too late. Send the text, make the call, have the conversation. That bucket ain't gonna fill itself. The last practice with a high return on investment is to get the heck out of here. Sometimes that's literal, and I recognize the privilege I carry in having the opportunity to tag along with my husband on a work trip or visit a friend with a better view. But in other seasons, I get the heck out by driving to the next town over and taking in different scenery. Or I just toss on my headphones and take a walk and let the world fade away for a moment. Honestly, sometimes my favorite escape is really just a fun and mindless novel. Checking out can be an unhealthy coping mechanism if we take it too far, and I have to watch that in myself, honestly. But sometimes removing ourselves from the situation that feels overwhelming and just taking some space to clear our heads will fill our bucket with enough life to bring us back home ready to re-engage. As you think about your own bucket, take a moment to reflect on some simple practices that could give a high return on your investment. And then get to work on filling that bucket, friend. You are worthy of health and wholeness. So as you're perhaps in a season of surviving over thriving and you're being intentional about filling your bucket, I'll offer a final step that can help you function under stress. Learn to deactivate. Back to the stress and survival thing. As humans, we at times will feel activated. We're confronted with a tantrum when we're already spread thin. We're blindsided or gaslit when we're already feeling insecure. We're hurt by that comment or overwhelmed by that task or thrown off by that disruption. And suddenly we're reacting instead of responding because it feels like the last straw. The first two steps we've walked through today can help mitigate some of our reactive tendencies, but they won't prevent them entirely. Under stress, we're just more likely to feel more activated in general or become more activated in response to certain stressors. When that happens, try one of these strategies. First, pause and name that you are safe. This might sound silly, as obviously your toddler's tantrum isn't placing you in any danger, but the reality is that our bodies crave felt safety as well as actual physical safety. Remember that earlier quote about chaos feeling like a threat. When we're activated, our bodies react like they are in danger. So a way to find your calm is to speak kindly and remind your body that it is safe. I do this with my kids, but I also do it with myself. You can place your hand or your hands over your heart, take a deep breath, and say something like, "This is stressful, but I am safe. I have what I need to respond here." This can help your brain return to a calmer state so you can access a solution and move forward. It works, trust me. If that doesn't do the trick, try some de-escalation tools, either for yourself or if you're dealing with someone else's activated responses, you can use these tools as you interact with them. Use clear terms to name the problem instead of global language like "this always happens" or "my day is ruined." I am queen of catastrophizing in like an internal dialogue. Lately, I found myself just saying, I hate my life. And I don't actually mean that literally, but when I'm activated, that feels very rational. So just being honest here. But using clear terms to name the problem is far more helpful. Something like, I need to finish this email, but the interruptions are making it difficult to focus. Keep your voice calm as you speak to yourself or others. An activated tone will activate others, or honestly, it'll even further activate our own self. Name your own feelings out loud or internally. Whew, that comment was hurtful and it made me feel disrespected. And my favorite de-escalation tool, which I coincidentally struggle with the most, is to take a break and set a boundary. The boundary might be for yourself. Whew, I'm going to take a moment to regroup. Or it might be for someone else. I am feeling activated. Can we return to this in a few minutes or later today? Then walk away. Find a way to engage your brain in something that requires your focus. Hydrate and have a snack. Don't use this as an escape. You can't, or you shouldn't, Houdini your way out of every stressful situation. But taking a break so that you can re-engage in a less activated state is often healthy and helpful. Sometimes the person who needs to deactivate isn't you, and I could do a whole episode, maybe I will at some point, on de-escalating a situation where the other person is activated, but that's for another day. For today, an important step to functioning under stress is to learn how to regulate when you're feeling activated. So there you go. 3 steps to function under stress. 1, adjust your mindset. Recognize you may need to survive rather than thrive in this season. 2, increase your capacity by filling your bucket. And 3, learn to deactivate, especially yourself. I've given you some things to reflect on today, so we're going to close with a practice that can help you the next time you feel activated and might even call attention to the unnoticed ways that you're activated even now in this moment. Stress takes a toll on our bodies, but in time, our bodies can norm that stress and convince us that we were just made to live this way. But scripture tells us that we were created to flourish. That God, who is good and shepherd, longs to lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. So let's practice some stillness and create the space our souls need to commune with the God who loves us. Go ahead and get into a comfortable position and sit quietly for a moment. Ground yourself. Press your feet onto the floor or lean into the chair that's supporting you. If you're a person of faith, let yourself become aware of God's presence in and around you. Breathe slowly and scan your body, noticing any tension or tightness. What is your body telling you right now? Listen to it, don't scold it. If this feels uncomfortable, perhaps you were taught not to listen to your body, but to control it. Be patient. Now focus in on an area of tension or tightness and consider what feeling it points to. Are you anxious? Frustrated? Disappointed? Is there something you need or want? Put some words around that feeling and the message it is sending. Thank your body for bringing that message to awareness. You might ask God how He would want to care for you right now. Take another deep breath, and as you breathe out, release the tension, letting it drift away or perhaps leaving it in God's loving hands. This is a practice that you can return to. If you have a longer stretch of time, you could continue scanning your entire body, noticing and listening and releasing tension from your head to your toes. There are plenty of mindfulness exercises available that can guide you through a full body scan. Or throughout the day, as you notice tension in an area, don't ignore it. Pause and notice, listen and release. I hope you found that practice to be useful, and I would encourage you to return to those steps as a way of caring for yourself. Thank you for joining in today's episode of the Find Your Calm podcast. I hope you were able to connect with yourself to get your bearings, find your focus, and begin to enjoy or at least be more present to the life that's within and around you. Life is chaotic. We know this to be true. But even in the midst of chaos, you can find your calm and take your next faithful steps forward. As always, you can connect with me on Instagram as Noelle C. Guevara. I'll be sharing some life updates and breaking news over there soon, so stay tuned. You can also find me at noellecguevara.com, and that's where you can sign up for my monthly newsletter. It's actually going out tomorrow, and I'll be sharing some practical hacks for the steps I shared today on the podcast. So if this episode resonated with you and you want some more practical ways of implementing it in your own stressful season, go sign up for that newsletter. Until next time, I'm Noelle C. Guevara, and I'm so grateful to be your host and guide as we navigate the chaos of life together.